Yeah, we were talking about the Jews in Acts 21, verse 20, that they were all zealous of the law, even as late as Acts 21, long after Paul was saved and the body of Christ started. That little flock still existed. There were two churches running side by side. They weren't the same church. There was no shift of doctrine within the same church from Israel's doctrine to body of Christ doctrine. It was two separate entities. And that's the point. Israel is separate from the Gentiles, and it's separate from the body of Christ. It was. It fell. You know, Israel fell. But that was their situation. That was what all those haughty Jews were counting on, that they had a free pass. You know, they were Jews, born a Jew. They had it made. But when Paul was saved, that introduced a new pattern of salvation, and the revelation of it was made known to Paul. Paul was the first person to be saved by that pattern that Christ started. Paul said, "In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And that word hereafter means after Paul. After Paul's experience, that made the difference. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him, like Paul did. So, in Matthew 5, verse 5, Israelites were not saved to heaven. The scriptures say those looking for the kingdom from heaven to earth, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit," not heaven, "they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 5, 5. We've seen all those scriptures that Israel was promised the land. That's on earth, not heaven. So people get these all mixed up by, getting bits and pieces preached to them, or, taking 5 minutes and opening the Bible at who knows where. The Lord meant for it to open at this spot, and I should have this nugget for today. reading while thinking that God has a special nugget for them for that day. That's how they get all mixed up doctrines. Well, it's one way. But, the Bible doesn't say take a whiff of the Bible every day. It says study it. Consecutive reading of the Bible is good. And a read through the Bible in a year plan is good. Or in 3 years if you're a slow reader. Or it's better than not reading it. Many people read through the Bible multiple times a year. But to be edified, we need to do more than just read it. We need to study it. We need to cross-reference it. We need to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And Christ said his words are spirit. So we need to compare and contrast. Find the contrasts between, they'll show up between Israel and the body of Christ, if you separate them to study them. If you study them as if they're all one, just not rightly dividing them, you won't see the contrast that God put there. So if you merely open your Bible and point to a verse you think maybe applies to you when it doesn't apply to you, and you're unaware that you just made it up that it applies to you, it doesn't work. You'll think that God is catering to you for a while, and then things will go against you, and you'll either blame God or else say, "Well, that was somebody else, it wasn't God." You'll make excuses. Study and find out what God is doing today, and then get in line with that. Study things that relate to each other so that you get the whole picture, of what you're studying. Then you can begin to see how it relates to other subjects in the Bible. When Christ comes back to rule the earth, it'll be from Israel that he rules. From the land of Israel. Not that little state of Israel that's over there now, that strip of land against the Mediterranean. But look at Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives, excuse me, just a minute, hold on. And let's see, where was I? And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And look at what conditions under which they have to endure at that time. They will have to. Israel was told in Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Shall be means not yet, but it's going to be in the future. Shall be. They had to endure to the end. And some people look at that and say, see, we can lose our salvation. We don't... No, they're talking about people that don't, you know, if they don't endure to the end, they would be not saved. Well, that's not given to us. It's not we, you know, it's them, Israel. That's who it's spoken to. You have to find out who's the male addressed to and believe that part of it too. That's only to and about Israel. Most of the Bible is speaking about Israel, unless you're reading in Romans through Philemon, the epistles of Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. And in Galatians 2, verse 9, we have somewhat of a roadmap of the Scriptures. What to follow and what is for Israel to follow. And we're not Israel. But the Apostle Paul pledged to write to us in verse 9. Galatians 2:9. And Peter, James, and John pledged to write to the circumcision, ministering to them and not to us, and no longer evangelizing as their commission had been, without evangelizing, as the members of the circumcision died out, the circumcision church of God died out through attrition. By the end of Acts, the rest of Israel, the rest, remember that phrase from Romans 11? That was not the circumcision, church of God, had been blinded, and they'd been cast away, at least for now, and for many years since then. Israel is different from the rest of the people on the earth. Israel is separate. They were. Satan is still trying to wipe them out. Well, look at the Holocaust in Germany. But, you know, they're separate. They're a different entity than the body of Christ is. The body of Christ is... there shouldn't be any confusion about that. The Lord gave them different names. It's not the body of Israel. It's the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not a nation. Israel is the nation. So the body of Christ is never told by Christ through Paul that any of us can ever lose our salvation. Isn't that securing? Isn't that peaceful, restful to know that? The Bible told Israel that they had to endure to the end, to be saved at the end. And First Peter confirms that too, and Acts 3:19 and 20 and 21. We're told that that those of us that have believed Paul's gospel, we are saved right now. We're already saved. We're told that we can either get or fail to get rewards depending on our work in building the church. The body of Christ. In fact, that's another difference between Israel and the body of Christ. speaking of his Matthew 16 through Acts 7 church, Christ said, I will build my church. Who's going to build it? Christ said, I will build my church. So Christ himself did the building of Israel's church of God. But Christ inspired Paul to write that the church built on the foundation of Christ that Paul laid is built by every man in it. You know, if you read like 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, it talks about every man building this way or that way over and over. It's not just Christ that builds, it's the believers in the body of Christ that build the body of Christ. There's a difference there. They're not the same. But we believers in Paul's gospel of Christ, crucified for our sins, we are saved and we are sealed at the moment. You know, the moment you believe, whether you pray at that moment or not, you know, we're saved and sealed unto the day of redemption. In the Bible, Israel is not yet told that they are saved. Many people don't realize that. They think, well, they believe they're saved. You know, they're God's people. Of course they're saved. Study the Bible. It doesn't say that. It says they will be saved when Christ returns. They are merely told that they will be saved. That's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And they have to endure to the end. In the end, when Christ returns, Israel will be saved. And then, after that, they will be sealed. Those verses like that, and you know, several places in Hebrews, in James, which indicate that a person can be condemned after believing, those are all to Israel. Look at the titles of the books and plug them into Galatians 2:9 and see which people they're talking to. It's all to Israel and in Israel's program. It's not the body of Christ doctrine or program. Look at the name of the book of Hebrews. That should be a clue that it's to and about the Hebrews. Those conditional verses are never to the body of Christ. And I've repeated and repeated, but you know, if you're in doubt, look them up. Try to find one verse that says we in the body of Christ that have believed Paul's gospel, we can lose our salvation. All those verses are in Israel's doctrine, Israel's scriptures, the ones addressed to Israel. Of course, they're all, you know, all 66 books of the Bible are inspired. We believe them. But, you know, when Christ supplies Israel's salvation and separates out Israel, that's not me. We have to take it as being addressed to who God was speaking to at that time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are talking about the coming of the promised Messiah that the Old Testament said would come. It's part of the Old Testament. The testator hadn't died yet until the very end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were still under the law. Our church, the church, the body of Christ, hadn't started. A pattern did start when Christ dispensed the gospel to Paul, saving him on the Damascus Road. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That's what Paul said. He received it first, and then he delivered it, first of all, to them in Corinth. That's first, the first that he delivered to them. Not that Corinth was the first that he ever preached to, but and he says what he delivered, how that Christ died for our sins. That's what makes the difference. Israel wasn't told that. They were told that Christ died for their sins, but they weren't told that that was the gospel of their salvation. That by believing that they are saved. They weren't told that. They were told that. Let's see, 1 Peter 1, they were redeemed by the precious blood. But it doesn't say how to access it. Not everybody in it is Judas redeemed. not everybody in Israel is redeemed. They have to endure to the end. How do they endure? How do they have to keep all those laws? All the they find out that they need God's grace as much as we do, if they're honest about things. And God's grace is through Paul's doctrine, Paul's salvation. That's where that pattern was started. So this gets more intensely into the nature and beginning of the body of Christ. We had talked about how God had he had worked through Israel in time past, and that he had given them good news about their coming kingdom. Then after about a 400-year period of silence, John the Baptist came on the scene, baptizing them, washing them to be a kingdom of priests, as Exodus 29 required. They were to be prepared that, you know, for that kingdom that was coming in. It was within reach. It was at hand. Then John the Baptist preached that the kingdom was coming. Jesus Christ came and preached to repent or change your mind. In other words, don't keep going after Baal, after Molech, after all these Ashtoreth, all the false gods of the nations round about them that they were going after and that they were warned not to. Change your mind. Repent. Believe the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom was coming. That was the gospel of the kingdom. It wasn't a promise that God is going to make a kingdom out of Israel. That was promised in Exodus 19. The gospel of the kingdom was that it's almost here. It's within reach. Peter preached that the kingdom was available. And Jesus went back to heaven after the crucifixion and resurrection. And Peter preached the kingdom of God. And that Jesus would return and sit on David's throne if they all would believe. It would have happened at that time, and the tribulation would have marched right through that 70th week of years if they all would have believed. But most of Israel refused to believe, including the leadership. The high priestess was in that gang that stoned Stephen, speaking the words of the Holy Ghost to them. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost in all of Israel, you know, all the leadership of Israel. Philip, as late as Acts 8, preached the kingdom of God to that Ethiopian eunuch. I think of him out there in the desert. I guess the scripture might not say that, but he was taken to him, out there. But anyway, throughout Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, that was the emphasis. They preached that believers in the kingdom of God coming down from heaven would be in the future, they would be saved to an everlasting life on earth. On earth. That may sound foreign, but that's what it, look at Matthew 5:5 again. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And it would be when Christ comes from heaven to rule the world. He will rule from Israel, from the land. If they endure to the end, they will, you know, take part, inherit the earth. Matthew 10:22 states that, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be, that's future, shall be saved. And notice that both Israel must endure to the end to, in the end, be saved when Christ returns. Notice that, and also notice the reason that Israel will be hated of all men. Jesus said that it will be for my name's sake. My name's sake. And it will be because they identify Jesus of Nazareth with the Messiah of prophecy that was prophesied. That's his name, Jesus. And they're identifying him as the Messiah, the Christ. At a future time, Israel will begin to believe the gospel of God, and that That's the very thing in which Paul said Israel had failed to do. They didn't believe the identity of Jesus that the gospel of God declares. That's the purpose of the gospel of God. Those, you know, it was to identify Jesus, and those are the facts that would do it. In Romans 1, 1 through 4. We could just close with that, I guess. Let me, and then we'll get on to this one other lesson. Let me get that Romans 1 through 4 on the screen. Welcome to all that came in since I started. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And then there's a brief parenthesis about the gospel of God, and then he explains the gospel of God. He says, the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God is not mystery. It was promised. It was in the Old Testament. What is it? Verse 3, concerning his son, so that's the sonship of Jesus, Jesus Christ. Christ is Messiah. That Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, our Lord, that he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and that that puts him in the messianic line to have descended from David, and as a Messiah, the Messiah, and declared to be the Son of God. There's the sonship again, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. That's the third element, that he rose from the dead. He's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel of God. There's nothing in there about this saves you, or, you know, if you don't fight it too hard, you're saved, or if you believe it, you're saved. There's nothing like that. It's just facts about who Jesus is. There is a gospel of salvation. It's called the gospel of Christ. In Paul, it's not anywhere in the Bible except in Paul's writings that gospel by that name appears. That's our salvation for today, because God made Paul his only apostle of the Gentiles, and that's to us. What he writes is our instructions. It's our way to get to heaven now. So if you're following something other than what God put in Romans through Philemon, you need to reconsider and find out what God is doing for us, for you, for people in the world today. Whether they're descended from Abraham or not, they're all considered Gentiles now, because Israel fell, became Lo Ammi, or not God's people, and God said, I will not be their God, not Israel's God. Now, Israelites can come to God the same way we do. We don't come to God anymore by saying, I'm pretty good, look at all the laws I kept and how few I busted. No, we have to come saying, I'm a destitute sinner. There's nothing I can do for myself, Lord. If I'm going to be saved, it has to be by your blood at Calvary that saves me. Christ died for our sins. That was your death and my death that we were due to get. It was that death that Christ died on Calvary. But that's the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, not the gospel of God. There is a difference, and it's important to recognize the difference as we go through these studies. Time for questions, by the way. I'm done with the lesson. But as we go through these lessons, you'll find out that Paul, when he went into a synagogue, went into a town, he would go to the synagogue. He didn't go to the library. He didn't go to the mosque. He went to the synagogue. And that's where God's word was kept, the scriptures. You know, copies of them. There were copies all over the place, and that was God's word. That's what the Lord quoted from in Luke 4. And he called it scripture, even though it was copies. In fact, it was translations, too. But, when Paul would go into the synagogue, he would preach according to Acts 17, 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3, he would preach, it was his manner to preach the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Then those that believed that about who Jesus is, well, let me go the other side of it. Those that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead, they didn't get to hear anymore about how to be saved. But those that did believe got to hear the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins too, and that by believing that Christ died for their sins, they are saved immediately upon belief.